Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel 37. You got to come to All In tonight. It's just so good being with the team and coming along to the All In services. And if you're not on team yet, I love who was talking about. You were preaching about team this morning, and it was so good. How God, you don't jump on team because you need to serve, or that is a good reason to jump on team. But you don't jump on team because C3 Toronto needs you. You jump on team because you have a significant part to play. I love you. Did you preach that in the second? Because you should have. Okay, yeah, that's good. All right, Ezekiel chapter 37. I love you, Jerry. Ezekiel 37. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, and it speaks about a valley filled with bones that got very dry, very weak, and stopped. They were stuck. And you might feel dry, confused, weak right now. At one moment, you can feel like everything makes sense and things are going strong, and in the next moment, you can get thrown. I was with my family in Florida over Christmas time, and Disney World was like horrible. It wasn't the happiest place on earth because it was so jam-packed. So the following couple of days, we decided to try out a different theme park, and we tried to look up like B-grade theme parks to go somewhere that wouldn't be so busy because it was between Christmas and New Year's. So we went to the Fun Spot. And it's like this, it's this carnival park in Florida, and there was like no one there. And the kids had so much more fun. And the rides, they kind of look broken and, you know, but it's all good. And like, so we take the kids in and they're getting waited on by every ride attendant because they're like the only people there. But it was fun. And there was this one ride that Noah wanted to go on. And it was meant to resemble snowboarding, but it didn't feel like snowboarding at all. It was like the ride from hell. And so I needed to go on it with him so he could do it. And it's a dizzy ride. And I'm not good with dizzy rides because like if you spin around too fast in front of me, I gag. You know, like I just can't do the spinny things. And so anyway, so we're going around on this thing, and you have to wear a seatbelt, and Noah's got his seatbelt on, my 5-year-old. And we get to the end, and I unclip the seatbelt. The ride stops. But then it started again. Backwards. The ride, because I didn't watch it before we did it, it went forwards around in circles and over humps, and then it went backwards, but we didn't have our seatbelts on anymore. So I just reach my hand over and just go bang on like Noah's chest, and now we're going backwards. Jess and Marie are standing down with Kenzie. Look, Jess is laughing so hard. I'm like, "Woo!" and that can feel like life sometimes. At one point, you feel secure. You feel like things make sense. And then at some point, something unhinges. And then all of a sudden, life goes to some four-letter word. And you are confused, disillusioned, and dry. Questions. And these bones had a mission at one point, but at some point, they stopped in a valley. And now, there is an answer in this passage. And there is an answer for you of where we gain our security, where we gain our strength. And if you are feeling weak right now, the Holy Spirit is in this room to strengthen you before you leave. To give, because He is our source of strength. And so let me read it. The hand of the Lord, this is speaking to Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by the Spirit God's going to bring you out of something because He needs to create new movement in your life. And this year at C3 is going to be the year of momentum, and He's going to bring you out of something so that you can be something to a generation of dry bones. Our city is covered with people that are dry and don't even know it, that need an answer in the Holy Spirit, need the answer in the presence of God, and have no idea that they are dry. And God wants to bring you out of something. He wants to move you. He wants to create momentum in your life and start to set you forward on a trajectory so that you can be a prophet, be a minister, train you up, equip you up so that you can go and be a minister to a city filled with dryness that needs hope, that needs hope. The Lord brought me out by the Spirit and set me in the middle of a valley. And we're in the middle of Toronto, and it was full of bones. So sad that these corpses never got a burial ceremony. That's considered an insult, not worthy of the dignity. You might have been taken advantage of recently. And you might be feeling like, I don't know what my answer is because I feel like dignity is being ripped from me. And you're stuck in the middle of something and you don't know how to move forward. Saw a great many bones on the valley floor, verse 2, and they were very dry. And we all go through very dry seasons. We all go through very dry moments. And He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Sovereign Lord, You alone know. That question, Son of man, can these bones live, is, do you believe this? Do you believe that what once was dead can now be alive? If you ask any of the people that got baptized today, that they understand that there is new life that can come on the other side of meeting Jesus Christ. And if you feel like you're in a dead moment, in a dead marriage, in a dead thing, if you feel like that there is dryness, deadness, you stuckness going on around your life, I want to tell you that Jesus is the resurrection and there is nothing that's impossible. But it's not whether He can do it, it's what do you believe? Because He asked the question, can these bones live again? Saying, Ezekiel, I know I'm good, but I want to know what you believe about your future. I want to know what you believe about the city of Toronto. I want to know what you believe about this church. I want to know what you believe about your life. And there is nothing too dead that can't be resurrected again. In fact, unless it's dead enough, it's not called resurrection. So you might be feeling like things couldn't get much worse. I know the feeling. But I want to tell you that sometimes Jesus waits when Lazarus is in a tomb for 3 more days just to make sure Lazarus is dead. Because He doesn't want anyone around to be questioning that maybe he was just sleeping when He wanted to prove Himself as the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. I believe Jesus can resurrect any situation. And I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what you're facing, but I want to tell you that you need to understand something. That your circumstances are subject to His power. His power is not subject to your circumstances. Somebody needs to give God some praise. And he answered, Sovereign Lord, You only know. That would be like saying, God, if it's going to happen, it's because of You. If it's going to happen, it's because of You. And then He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, to these bones, I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you. I will cause flesh to come upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you. Tendons are like alignment. Flesh is like muscle and organs. Skin is covering, and breath is life. A lot of people want the covering of God without aligning under His authority. But alignment comes first. Then He puts His function into you and He gives you the strength that comes from Him. You can't function in the kingdom without aligning under the kingdom. And you don't want to cover dysfunction. And too many people want to cover brokenness when Jesus wants to set you free. You don't need God's covering. You need the function of the Holy Spirit to change you, to transform you. Once you are transformed, then you are automatically under His covering. We got to make sure that when we're discipling people in connect groups, when we're helping people in life, that we make sure if they're not aligned, that they get aligned before we cover them. You can be covered, but I'm not going to hide the skeletons in your closet if you are hiding the skeletons in your closet. I'm going to call them out because I can't cover up what God wants to uncover, heal, create function in so that He can cover it the right way and pour His breath into you and set you out so you're no longer a caterpillar, you turn into a butterfly. It's called His transformation process. It's called renewed thinking. It's called there is some things that we carry that need to be dealt with so that you can have the life of God that you need to have. Somebody say alignment. I want to talk a little bit more about that tonight. So I prophesied, verse 7, and commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. Something was changing. And the bones came together, bone upon bone, and I looked at the tendons, and the flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Listen, you can come together in alignment. You can come and do church well. You can look functioning in church. And you can have all the masks and all the skin, and you can look like you're a great Christian. But if you're not carrying the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of the presence of God, if the Spirit of God, the life breath of God, the pneuma breath of God has not filled your spiritual lungs, you don't have life. You could look like you're living. I don't know if anyone's ever been to a funeral, but when I was at my grandfather's funeral, I remember seeing everything looking right, but it wasn't right because the life breath wasn't there. You might look okay today, but I want to ask you, do you need the life of the Holy Spirit? Do you need the Holy Spirit to come into you, to set you free, give you life, cause you to come out of a place so that you can prophesy to somebody who doesn't have life, so that you now can become the prophet to somebody that doesn't have life? And the good news is he prophesied again in verse 9, come, breath from the four winds, breathe into these slain, that they may have life. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Breath entered them. They came to life, stood up on their feet, a vast army. This is a vast army. You are a vast army. We're a vast army to help people encounter hope. It's amazing to me how people can come into church and encounter hope and really get set on fire from hope, but then not take it anywhere. We have to be a church that makes sure that the people outside of this church know what they can get in church. The hope of God, the light of life, the living water. This is where hope is found. For 5 years, we were praying and believing for we were inviting this guy to church and we'd invite him week after week. It was the owner of this pizza restaurant that we used to go to when we first started the church. And then all of a sudden, about a month ago, I saw him in church. He was in church. Like, he came. And I was like, you know, at some point you're believing for someone, then at the end you're just like, maybe this guy's never going to come to church. Because I wanted him to experience the goodness of God. And then I remember speaking to him after the service. I went up to him and I'm like, what are you doing here? You were never going to come. And I even just said that to him. And he's like, no, I know. I'm just keeping you waiting. And then he said, this is like the best kept secret. Like, how incredible is it here? Like, I know you told me it was good, but this has been amazing. He was on a date with his mom. He took his mom out on a date. All the moms are like, you know, turning to their kids. What's the matter with you? And I took the compliment and was like, that's fantastic. But it bothered me that it was the best kept secret. What are we even talking about? Why is this a secret? We got to shout it out. I mean, the people doing the CBC thing, they're coming in and I just saw them walking out. I said, how was church? And they're like, oh, it was awesome. So good to be. They're not Christians. And they just said, man, like, this is amazing. This place is amazing. The camera guy's like just telling me, like, this is incredible. And I'm like, I'm so glad that a documentary could be potentially made about C3 Toronto, not because of any other reason that the world needs to know. The world needs to know. And if someone watches that and then somehow decides that church could be good, we got to give the church a good reputation again, because the church sucks in the eyes of so many humans across the planet. It's because men and women have messed it up and we're sorry and we wish that we could just do God justice, but it's good to just get out of the way and allow people to experience the power of God, experience the Spirit of God, experience the presence of God, and let their lives be on fire for Him. There's another girl, Kenesha, her name is, are you here? Where are you, Nish? I don't know. Up the back. Oh, you're up the back waving. Awesome. Can I tell you a story? I'm going in. Don't need your permission. All right. So she, a year ago, was at a business party. I heard your story and it just set me on fire. You're amazing. And at a business party talking about the meaning of life or purpose, like there's got to be more meaning. There's got to be more purpose. You know, it was a really lighthearted conversation at this party. And until 4 a.m. And then the very next day, which was Sunday, she woke up thinking about purpose at 8 a.m. in the morning, only had 4 hours sleep. You know, that's what it's like to have kids, all right? So God's just preparing you for the future. But she wakes up and God woke her up. And then she calls her friend who was at the party that was talking about church. And she said, like, I just got to go to church. Who says that? God is wanting to reach His hope out to people, even if we don't do anything. And her friend's like, you know, I go to C3. She come along. Long story short, she's given her life to Christ and now she's taken on the internship. She's one of our interns this year. You're awesome. I can't really see you because it's dark. So someone told me you're back there, but doing a good job. She's serving on team. How awesome is that? And the sense of purpose, I'll tell you the answer to your question, Kenesha. The meaning of life comes out of living beyond yourself. Living for eternity. That there is decisions that you make today that ricochet through eternity. And you can't stay very dry. You can't stay in the middle of the valley. You can't stay in this place of depletion. You can't stay without strength. As you wait on the Lord, He renews your strength. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is that the Holy Spirit came and that we are filled with power. That there is power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And some of you feel powerless in your circumstance. But right now, I tell you, the power of God is going to fill your life. It's going to lift you up. And you are going to walk out of here knowing who you are, knowing what you carry, because you carry Jesus Christ. You carry the Holy Spirit. You will. I'm going to get the band up. You can feel like you're winning in one moment. And then everything can change. I think about David slaying Goliath. And then straight after that, he's running for his life in the wilderness for years, fleeing. It's like he had the greatest victory, right? And then when he's desperate for his life, he can only turn to God. And he keeps getting tempted by his mighty men to take things into his own hands and take care of the situation himself, but he doesn't. He stands back in honor and just stays before God. And when he was in that season, he wrote this psalm. Psalms 46 says this, God is our refuge and strength. Somebody say strength. Our ever-present help in trouble. I've been through some weak moments in my life. And I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how people deal with stuff without God. I don't know how people go through trying to go through life things hit you, you get slapped around a bit, you feel weak, you feel depleted, you feel like all the life wind. That's why Isaiah 40 says, even the young people will fall, they will fail. Because as strong as you can be working out at the gym, unless you do what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, to renew the strength on the inner man, your spirit, you can bench press that barbell all day long, but you need to bench press through prayer and fasting. You need to bench press through devotion to God to strengthen the inner man on the inside. Oh, man, I feel the Holy Spirit. Stand to your feet, church. He said, can these bones live? He's saying, he's asking Ezekiel, what do you believe? And before, I'm going to invite you to come to the front in a minute, as many people as possible who need just the Holy Spirit to strengthen them. You need a touch of God, the presence of God. But before I do that, I'm going to ask you the same question. Can this situation live? Can your spirit come alive again? Jesus asked many people in the Bible, I think about the guy sitting beside the pool at the sheep gate, and he says, well, what do you want? And isn't it obvious he's lame, lying there? And then he makes an excuse. His belief system is low, and he says, no one can carry me. He didn't need anyone to carry him. Jesus was standing right in front of you. If Jesus says right now, do you want your life to change? Do you want the power of God to touch your life? What could change in your life? Don't say to him, I don't know. No one's carrying me through this situation, because he's standing right in front of you and just wants you to believe. He said, he commended the centurion. The centurion's like, I'm a man under authority. If I believe your word, it'll be done. He said, man, I've never seen so much faith. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. She stretches through a crowd. Can your situation live again? Can it be resurrected again? Is God true or not? She said, I've heard about this man. His name is Jesus. And I'm going to stretch forward as long as I can touch his robe. I'll take it. And the power of God, the Bible says, left his body. Healed her of an issue that the doctors couldn't heal. Because she believed. They said, everyone's touching you. But he said, nobody touched me like that. Nobody was reaching out like that. You can be encountering God in your seat right now. But if you don't choose to believe, if you don't choose to turn your faith switch on, to turn your heart on and say, my life can change right now. And you might just need a refreshing touch of the power of God. That's it. That's all you might need. Well, come and get it. But don't come down the front waiting for me, waiting for Pastor Jerry, waiting for Pastor Jess, waiting for Chrissy to pray for you. I'll get Amanda to pray for some people if I can. Don't be waiting on that as if that's going to change things. No, no, no. It's your belief. It's you saying, man, I'm going to reach out right now. The Holy Spirit is here and he's going to touch my life. So if that's you, I don't know where you're at, but if you just need a touch from God at the end of this prayer and fasting season, if you've been praying, you don't have your answer, you're feeling very dry, and you just want the Holy Spirit to ascend from heaven and just touch your life, I want you to leave your seat right now. I want you to come to the front.